We've been studying in the book of Hebrews. It has been a very rich study for me, and one that I have enjoyed, and I have grown in grace and in the knowledge of Him, and that's what it's all about. And not just simply knowing the truth, but responding to it in obedience. God just doesn't want us to be a bunch of smart sinners. He wants us to change. And that's the reason why we study the Bible, so that we at least know which way to go to change. And by the power of His Holy Spirit and the ministry of His grace and the leadership of His Word, you know, we can please Him. Sinners can please Him. And so we've been studying in the book of Hebrews, and trust the Lord will suit a blessing for each of us this morning. I want to read two verses. I want to read Hebrews 13:7 and verse 17. It says, "Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Verse 17, "Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." The message this morning primarily has to do with my responsibilities and to you as part of the flock. I'm a shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd. My desire is to follow the great shepherd, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I'm doing is helping you to appreciate where I'm coming from on Sunday mornings and in the ministry of the Word to you. Because my desire is for you to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, approved. I want you to be rewarded for the labor that you have done while you're here on the earth. I want you to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and to enter into the joy of the Lord. Because we believe here that it does make a difference how you live. If you haven't done well, you think God's going to lie to you and say, "Well done, you slothful and wicked servant"? No. And so I'm here to encourage not only myself out of the Word, but I'm here to encourage you to be profitable, to be fruitful, to be faithful to the Lord, so that you can hear that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It does make a difference how you live. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, "I keep my body under subjection, that after having preached to others, I myself would be a castaway." This, Paul was not afraid or fearful of losing his salvation, but he was fearful of becoming disapproved. And so I want to convey that message as well. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14, we find that the Lord has given gifts to the church, to His body. And He said He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I am not an apostle. I am not a prophet. I do evangelism when the opportunity presents it, but I am not an evangelist. I'm a pastor, teacher. I am here to feed the flock, to take the flock from one pasture to another in the feeding of the saints. My job is to perfect or to bring to completion the saints. For what reason? For the work of the ministry. Today's concept of hiring a pastor is to give him the job of doing everything that the congregation doesn't want to do. But that is not the biblical way. The biblical way is the pastor teacher is the one who feeds the flock, encourages the flock to do the ministry, rather than hiring somebody to do it for them. But let's continue. It says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, the teaching of your word will allow us to become Christ-like in our walk with the Lord. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sly of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Today people do not know why they believe what they believe. And the reason is because of the lack of the teaching of the Word of God. The emphasis is on more on other things in the body. And our emphasis here is the teaching of the Word, that you are not going to be led astray, if you please. You're going to be solid in the Word. And you will not be tossed by every wind of doctrine. Notice the word wind of doctrine. Who is the prince of the power of the air? Satan. And he likes to blow doctrine around to deceive and to lead us astray. And so we need to be established in the truth. The apostles defined their job in Acts 6:4 when they said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Praying is something that I believe in very much. I have a prayer list with names, burdens, that I don't want to forget. I don't want to wait. I don't want to depend upon the moving of the Lord to help me to remember them. These are people and things, are people and events and situations that need prayer, and I don't want to forget them. So I write them down, and I look at them daily, and I go over them daily. And my prayer for you and for me is that we might all stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And so the apostles prayed. They prayed for the flock. They prayed for leadership as to what they should go, where they should go, or what they should do. And when they went, they ministered. They taught the Word of God. And it takes time to study the Bible. It's line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. In fact, it's interesting. The Scriptures, they are milk. And I've used this illustration before, so bear with me. Old timers. My grandmother used to churn to make butter. And it takes time to make butter churning. I mean, she had a jar on the floor, and she had a plunger, and she would, if she had enough cream, she would use that. If she didn't have enough cream, she'd put it in a pickle jar, a gallon pickle jar. And I could see her sitting on the back porch just rocking that pickle jar like that when I was a boy. She lived in the country and had a farm there. But you know what? She did not churn milk. You know what she churned? Cream. Because if she churned milk, she'd still be churning. You don't churn milk to get butter. But you know what? In the Word of God, you do. This is the milk of the Word. And it takes a lot of time to churn the milk, to bring the butter fat together, to become butter. And it's, you know, Isaiah tells us that the Lord ate butter and honey so that he would discern, so he could discern to choose the good and eschew the evil. That's in Isaiah 7:15. So, prayer takes time, and the ministry of the Word takes time as well. So that's what the apostles were doing. God gave pastor teachers. He gave elders to the church. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." And then in Acts 20, verse 28, he further defines the elders as bishops. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit of the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." You see the challenge that Paul gave to the bishops, the overseers, the elders, the leaders of the church? He said, "You feed the church of God. You take heed to yourselves first. You work on your own life. You discipline your own self. And then you encourage the flock by feeding them." We are also encouraged in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13, to know your elders. One of the things about coming to a body of believers is that you're, basically speaking, you're putting yourselves under the encouragement of leaders of that body. Now, let me just say this. I am not of the persuasion that I'm the boss. I'm not calling any shots in your life. That's not what we're going to find out as we're studying this morning. I am a leader. I am a persuader. I am a teacher. I encourage you to do the right thing. And I will not enter into the wrong thing with you if you want me to, unless I'm led astray. But you understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to do something that you want me to do if I do not believe it's a good thing to do. And I'm not going to just do it off of a whim. I want to do it based upon what does the Word of God teach and what are the principles of the Word of God in teaching us. So, when you put yourself under an elder, you need to know the man. That's why it's so important to bring an elder up within the fellowship rather than just calling one in and hiring him to do the job. But sometimes that's about the only way it works. I know that I've been here for 20 years, but before I came, I had held 3 or 4 Bible conferences, and while I was holding those Bible conferences, you know what we were doing all week long? I would teach the Word of God on every night of the week, and then we would all go over to the pastor's house at 9 or 9:30 in the evening, and I would be teaching them how to study the Word of God for themselves till midnight, 1 o'clock. It got to be that when I did come up for Bible conference, everybody took off from work because they know they weren't going to get any sleep. Because we were in the Word. We were studying the Word. I was teaching them how to study in Greek and Hebrew without the disciplines of learning the language. I was teaching them the significance of learning grammar or applying grammar to the study of the Word of God. And so the people were able to learn about me because I was among you for a while and before the Lord called me up here. By the way, I was able to do these things because I was in the software business. I was running East Tennessee Systems, which is a computer software house. So I had the liberties to take off when I needed to do the things that the Lord would have me to do. So I've been in the business world, but I have been a discipler for 40 years or better. Now, Paul says, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." The word "over" really means to stand before, to preside, to be the example, not to lord over you. In the Lord, in other words, this is the Lord's work. And I know that there are many places where pastors lord it over the flock. And that's not I don't believe that's what the Word of God teaches. And he is the one who admonishes you. You were to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. There's nothing like peace in the family. And it sure helps in the ministry of the Word and the encouraging of each other. We're to give the elder double honor in 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the Word of God and doctrine. If you can't respond and respect the man that stands in the pulpit, you need to find a place that you can. And I realize that. I can't please everyone, and no man has ever been able to do that. Even Paul and Barnabas had difficulties with each other, and they had that parting of the way. And you know what? God's work was accomplished, even though there was division. And so you need to know your elders and to be able to respect them and to give them double honor, and particularly those who labor in the Word and in doctrine, the teaching of the Word. Now, oftentimes we're living in a society where we vote on things, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's probably the lowest form of government, run by the people. The head of gold is the type of government that we should have, but we'll never have that until Jesus Christ comes. He is the potentate, like Nebuchadnezzar was the potentate, and he said whatever he said, people lived or died. But the point is this: the people, it's not within man who lives for him to order his steps. And so Paul told Titus, he says, I want you to appoint elders. Elders, leaders in the church, were appointed. They weren't voted on. And because oftentimes when you vote people in, you vote on if you like them or not. And usually pastors oftentimes stand at odds with people because they don't like what they hear. It hurts, you know, it's just like the doctor. You know, you don't like this, what this doctor's telling you, what do? Well, you go find a doctor that'll tell you what you want to hear. Well, we're living in a day where people are going to find, they have itching ears, and if they don't like what the preacher says, they're going to go somewhere else where they're going to hear what they want. So elders are appointed. In Titus chapter 1, verse 5, it says, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain or appoint elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. And he gives the qualification of an elder. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop or an elder, same office, must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed. In other words, he doesn't have to have his own way all the time. Not soon angry. Not given to wine. He's not under some other control. Be not drunk when wine were in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, as in Ephesians. No striker. He's not a brawler. Not given to money. He's not in the business for money. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. These are the qualifications of an elder. Blameless, not perfect, nobody's perfect, but he is not blamable. He is. He can minister to people, and so these are. This is the list. Timothy also. Paul gave him a list of qualifications as well. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, it says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." What I'm doing is a good work. And I'm glad that it is, that I'm not wasting my time. This is not vain. The preaching of the Word of God is not a waste of time. The teaching of the Word of God is not a waste of time. It will not return unto the Lord void. It will not return unto him void. He continues, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife." Now, this may be some... I know that in our culture today that people are not abiding by that. An elder needs to be a man who has a wife. Well, I believe that an elder is one who is a man. Well, I'll just leave it at that. He must be vigilant. In other words, he's going to be steadfast. He's going to be watching. He's going to be observing. He's going to be sober. He's not going to be drunk with power and money and pride and prestige and trying to build a big something for himself or a big building or a big school. He's not looking for recognition. Of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre or money, but patience, not a brawler, not covetous, but one that ruleth his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? What is an elder doing? He is taking care of the church. He's caring for the church. This is a family. We're caring for each other. And sometimes mom and dad say things and have the children do things they don't like, and that's the same thing. He's not to be a novice. He's not to be a beginner. Lest being left lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. The devil is always going to be against the ministry of the Word. When you're teaching doctrine, you're going to have opposition. And the devil is going to see if he can find a snare, a problem, and cause a division and defeat. Peter challenges the elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. When he says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." What Peter is saying here is, I witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, but I was also on the Mount of Transfiguration. I know what's going to happen in the kingdom of the heavens, where Peter, James, and John witnessed on the Mount of Transfiguration. He says, I've been there. I know what I'm looking forward to. And I'm telling you, elders, you can look forward to the same thing. And he continues, feed the flock of God which is among you. Isn't that interesting? Over and over again, feed, feed, feed the church of God. Feed the flock. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. In other words, this is not a job. This is a lifestyle and a ministry. I'm not constrained to do this. In other words, this is a willing move between me and the Lord. Verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. In other words, an elder is not to lord it over the people. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. There are crowns being offered to those who will be faithful. A crown of righteousness, an incorruptible crown, a crown of life, the crown of glory, for disciplines in the life of a believer. And If you have a crown, you know what crowns represent? Ruling and reigning. Crowns represent honor and glory. And this honor and glory is what we're anticipating in His coming kingdom. Now, I want to go over the verses that we first read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. It says, "To remember them which have rule over you." The word "remember" is in the present tense. The present tense implies and means continuous action. I think this remembering the elder has to do with prayer. It's your responsibility to pray for me. It's my responsibility to pray for you. And so in remembering me, you need to remember, or in that remembrance, you need to be asking God to give me what you need to hear, so that I can respond in a way that I can please you and do the things that you want me to do. And by the way, this is an imperative. This is a command. This is not a suggestion. We need to be obedient to the Word. And remembering the elder is a command. And the word here, remember, is to be mindful of and to consider them which rule over you. The word "rule" is in the present tense as well. It's a continuous thing. And the word "rule" means, is translated in other portions of the Scripture, to lead, to govern, to esteem, to reckon, or to count. In other words, I'm looking at this word "rule" here is that of leadership. Remember them which are leading you. And the word, by the way, "over you" is not in the Greek text. I drew a line through that because there's no Greek words for that expression. It's not over anyone. Leadership is you're out in front of everybody. A shepherd is one who leads the flock, and the flock is to follow. And when one of the sheep goes this to the right, then it's the shepherd's responsibility to go get it and to bring it back over here. Bring it back over here. And sometimes the shepherd has to do what to the lamb to keep it from going astray? Break its leg. It's not a fun thing, but anyway, that's what the shepherd would do from time to time to keep the sheep from just continually going astray. He says, remember those elders or those who rule over you who have spoken the word of God. This has to do with doctrine and teaching. And by the way, the word of God is, I'm skipping down a little bit here to Luke chapter 8 verse 10. The word of God pertains to the mysteries of the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 8 verses, verse 10. Excuse me, I think this is verse 11 and it's verse 10. It's the references to the kingdom, mysteries of the kingdom. The seed of the sower is the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. And it's a pastor who is teaching that truth, those truths, the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, is the one who is doing the right thing. Did you know, let me just stop here and say this for your benefit. The teaching of the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens is a doctrine that encourages faithful living. It encourages us to be fruitful Christians, to be faithful Christians, because that doctrine teaches a preparation for the coming kingdom. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's not salvation. That's not salvation. That has to do with ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. Well, let's continue. He says, whose faith follow? The word "follow" means to imitate, and that is also in the present tense. And it is an imperative as well. What is the faith that he's talking about? He's talking about the behavior that pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Is your elder trusting God, living by faith? Is he pleasing God, or is he pleasing himself? We are to be considering the end of his conversation or his conduct. This has to do with what it means to remember those who are over, or actually the ones who are leading in the Lord. Then in verse 17 of Hebrews 13, it says, "Obey them that have rule over you." The word "obey" would be better translated, "be persuaded." It's not the elder gives the command and then you obey that command. The elder is a teacher of the Word of God, and the word "obey" means to be persuaded that what he is teaching you is correct. And how are you persuaded that what he is teaching is correct? Well, you do what they did in Berea. And I challenge you to do the same thing. Don't believe what I say because I say it. Believe what I say because it is confirmed in this book. They did it to Paul, and I assure you the people need to do it with me. You need to be persuaded by hearing what is being said and then confirming it out of the Word of God for yourself. That's what the word "obey" means, to be persuaded of those who lead or govern or who are chief or who are esteemed in your midst. And submit, present tense, yourselves. Be submissive. Well, the Word of God says be submissive, everyone be submissive to each other. Submit everyone to each other. In Ephesians chapter 5, it's interesting that wives are to submit themselves to their husbands, just like the church is to submit themselves to the Lord. And I wonder how the Lord feels the way we submit ourselves to Him. You know, there are times when we just don't want to do what He has, you know, what He has recommended that we do. We'll get to that in just a moment, because there's a principle of submission I wanted to suggest to you here in just a moment. But we need to be submissive, not to the individual, but to what you are persuaded from the Word of God to do. It says, "For they watch for your souls." The word "watch" means sleepless. He gets up early. Sometimes he stays up late in prayer, in study of the Word. And I can assure you, when I used to work for NCR, of course I wasn't a pastor in those days, when I used to work for NCR back in the late 60s and early 70s, I used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and study till 8. And then I would, because we didn't have to be in the office until 9 or 9:15, because we were usually very generous with our time after we got in the work. We could work on into the evening. But anyway, being diligent of getting up early and the studying of the Word of God and making it our own. But anyway, pastor teachers are those who watch, or they lose sleep, watching out for your souls. I think this would be better translated lives. You're living. I can't see your soul, and you can't see mine either. But I can see your lifestyle. And so what I want to do is to take the Word of God and apply it to the way you're living. Of course, society's changed today. We're not living as close together as we used to, or as they did in the biblical days. But the idea is, how are you living? And how are you applying the Word? And that's what I need to be doing. I need to be applying the Word. As they must give an account. I've got to give an account. You know the watchman who stood on the wall and he saw the enemy coming and he didn't blow the trumpet? Who held the responsible? Who was responsible for that? The watchman. The blood was on his hands. And I sure don't want your blood on my hands. You understand what I'm saying? That's why it's so important to be truthful and to be straightforward. And of course, it's profitable for me to do it with joy and not with grief. And it's beneficial to you. And that's important. Now, I included 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 as a principle of submission. says, "He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" When I think about a pastor teacher, I'm thinking about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was a pastor teacher. He was the shepherd. And you can't see him. But you can see me. And if you say that you are doing what the Lord would have you to do, or you mean, I guess I'm going to mess this up for sure. The principle is this. You need to respond to me, whom you can see, because how can you respond to God whom you can't see if you're not responding to me? Same thing in a husband and wife relationship. How can a wife rebel against her husband and say she is submissive to God, who she can't see, if she can't be submissive to the husband that she can see? So I'm trying to make the application of the principle of submission. You need to submit to somebody you can see, so that it will be easier to submit to the Lord who you cannot see. That's the principle there. Well, I hope you can see the application in each of our lives about my relationship to you, my responsibility to you, and your responsibility to me. I'm here for you. All of you are servants. And you know what I get to be? I get to be a servant of a servant. Now, I haven't seen too many servants who have servants, but that only happens in the body of Christ. That's pretty low. But you know what? I enjoy serving you. I enjoy encouraging you. That's what the Lord has called me to do, and I delight in it. And I want to just say this. It is a joy to minister to you. You're not a grief to me. And I hope I am profitable to you. Okay? That's how I feel about you. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Father, we just thank you so much that we can get a glimpse of your plans and purposes for us while we wait for your return, so that we can stand approved in your presence because we have responded to your word. I pray, Father, that you would help us to encourage each other in our walk with you, that we might be found faithful. I ask you, Father, to help me to be obedient to you and faithful to this flock until you come or until I'm taken. I pray for your blessings upon these, your children, who are seeking your coming kingdom, that they might stand and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord, being faithful over a little, ruling over much in your coming kingdom. Bless the message to each of our hearts this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.